What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 250. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Mike Kaplan.
Yes, he is. You can find me on the road. Currently, I am in a hotel room at the Tropicana Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm performing here all week at the Laugh Factory with Tom Rhodes inside the Tropicana on the Strip in Las Vegas. But soon, next week, I'm going to be, October 28th in Eugene, Oregon, October 29th, Corvallis, Oregon, October 30th, Persimmon Country Club in Gresham, Oregon, right outside of Portland. But Cap, they just told me that's open to the public, so anybody can buy tickets. So if you're in the Portland area, I'm talking to you, Sugar Brady. Go call the Persimmon Country Club and get your tickets to that show. It includes dinner. This is like an old school, you know, in the mob movies. It's dinner and a show.
Dinner and a show, like your grandparents would go to.
Yes.
Like, which I do not picture in Portland. I thought it was all run by Antifa now, so I didn't know. They're going to storm in and...
Well, so my friend Rudy Tiberti, who we're going to get into in a minute, but he told me, he's opening for me in a couple of these Oregon shows, and he told me that, who's the GM of the Blazers?
Paul Allen? Or no, he died.
Paul Allen's the owner. Whoever the GM of the Blazers is, he says belongs to this country club.
Oh.
So he's like, you might see him there.
Yeah,
gonna be exciting. And then upcoming dates, I'm all over Northern California country clubs in November, but the public shows, the shows I'm doing for the peons,
the show for the people.
Yes, that
you dumb it down a little for those people. You dumb down, you know,
talk slower.
Yeah, talk a little slower
for the public school, for the public school kids. I will be November 10th at the Punchline Comedy Club in Sacramento, California.
Homecoming.
December, that's the homecoming. Yeah, and then December 3rd and 4th in Oakland, California, Alameda Comedy Club. December 3rd, 4th, Chino's going to come out to
those. Maybe you can work out a trade and get Marvin Bagley to the Portland Trailblazers while you're there.
With the GM.
Yes.
That'll be great. Kaplan, you can find him at
Captain America
on all social media platforms. And also, as we've been talking about on Live from the Bunker, our Patreon show, you can find him at Little League Soccer Games all over Long Island City. Watch. You're not coaching this year, which is good because I think the team's having another rough season, aren't they?
The team is not doing great, but my son is the star player of, he's like, it's like of like, it's like any movie where there's like a team of, what's it like, just a bunch
Mighty
of dorks.
Ducks. Mighty Ducks.
The Mighty Ducks. These are the soccer version of the Ducks.
And he's dorks.
I'll just say one kid went up to him before last game and said, can I ask you one question? How are you so good?
Like, yeah, he's a good team. He's a good player. Bad team. What good stats? Bad team guy.
He's Pele to these young kids, and and he scored the only two goals this team has scored in four games now. So yeah, it's tough to watch. I'm gonna start drinking Saturday mornings when I go to these games.
That's a good idea. Just pop a Bud Light right on the side.
Yeah, because I just watch these. They don't like know how to react to goal. Like the goalie doesn't move when the ball's shot. They
By
don't
the way,
know you're supposed to dive.
For everyone listening, these kids are not four.
They're nine.
This is like an age where you should be able to run and pass and shoot and dribble and all that. And they're still.
And because it's Brooklyn, the parents don't scream at the kids for being bad at sports. They only scream at them for wearing their masks. That's the only thing they care about. So He's very emotional about it. So yeah, that's what we're talking
about. The parents
about
are they having the kids do homework on the sidelines while they're before when they're going? This
they're
like
making
a
math. It's great for your math skills when your team gets blown out 12-2.
Yeah. That's that. Also, if you want to support this podcast, we're up to $409 a month. So the next we're having our party at the Friars Club. If you want to get in on this yearly party at the Friars Club, throw in $5 a month now. Not only do you get our show live from the bunker, just me and Cap, three extra times a week. Patreon exclusive. We're talking about my trip in Vegas right now. Homeless people in Vegas are fantastic. They're the best homeless on planet Earth that I've run into.
The best homeless. You've named them. The best homeless on Earth.
They're
the
great. Homeless. They're great. They're really yeah. great. And they're a lot of fun. And $5 a month, patreon.com/lostinamerica. Shout out to Gary Sparks. My dad just went up to $30 a month. How about that? He's not
Thank
beating.
You.
I think Dennis Owens is still number one at 34 or something like that. And of course, Drew Frelick went up to 26 to get us over 400 now.
So so my dad is a real deadbeat. He doesn't even subscribe. And Gary
Dr.
Sparks,
Dr. Bob
gave us $3.
Kaplan, he is a doctor. Well, he's a foot doctor, but that's still a doctor.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, but come on, step it up, Dad.
Step it up, Dr. Bob. Cap, on the podcast today. Oh, we're talking about Korea, South Korea. I've been to South Korea once a few years ago. I did a comedy tour, and it struck me. I've always wanted to know what it was like to grow up next to North Korea and spend your whole life next to a country run by not only a madman, but a series of madmen that are all, you know, one after the other, the son and the grandson and all that. Because we get once every few years, we get in the news here that, oh, North Korea has missiles aimed at us. But we're really pretty far away. Yeah, yeah,
we're like California. We don't need them that much, you know.
Well, it's not even California. I'm from California. If you're from California, you go, well, what is it going to hit Hawaii? Big deal, you know. that hasn't happened before.
Or it's going to hit the Valley in LA. It's like the odds of it hitting an important spot are low. It's a big state. You're not that worried. It's pretty. It's thousands of miles.
Nobody's coming after El Dorado Hills, California, where exactly. I'm from. So I've always wanted to know what it was like. And then we read in the news today, this week, that North Korea launched another test missile, a ballistic missile off of a submarine. And so we said, I want to get a Korean comedian on this show who lives in Korea, South Korea. First of all, one, do they even know or care about this ballistic missile launch yesterday? Two, because when I was there a few years ago, it struck me how blasé the Korean comedy scene, the Koreans I met, all were with this whole being next door to North Korea thing. They didn't seem to care. I seemed to be more worried than they were, you know? And
they
so I said, let's go find a Korean
comedian. They
weren't
sleeping in their bomb shelters every night.
No, yeah. And as you said, you had a bomb shelter in upstate New York, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we grew up, like, our parents always talk about how they grew up in the Cold War where they had, like, drills every day, get under your desk. Like, that would solve when if a nuke comes, you're safe under the desk.
Yes.
But, yeah, and they built these homes with bomb shelters. And I had one when I was at Syracuse senior year. We had a great place to put it. It was like the makeout room, really.
Yes.
But, you know, it was great.
More of a touching cave, but
more of a rape room.
A makeout room's putting a nice spin on it.
But I'm wondering if that's what life's like there. Like, if, like, everybody is, you can't, like, you get a really good deal on a rent when you don't have a bomb shelter.
My dad and my uncle Keith grew up in Carlsbad, New Mexico, rural New Mexico, with a bomb shelter in their front yard. Just in case, I don't know if it was Kim Jong-il's, you know, grandfather would attack or somebody. But either way.
The Soviets, yeah.
We found a South Korean
North
comedian.
Korea. That would be great. North Korean comedian.
That would be amazing. That's next episode.
For episode 250, we really should, but yeah. 300, yeah. We'll get
North
Korea.
We found a South Korean comedian, Sang-dong Park, who is also running. He's the host of, check him out on Instagram at The Sang Show. He has a podcast. He's got stand-up clips. He's got stand-up dates. When I was there, the comedy scene was Jeff Sinclair and Rudy Tiburtzi were running it at this thing called Stand Up Soul, which was great. They did shows all over the place. Now they have, they still have Stand Up Soul, but they're also doing Dark Daguerre, which I've been told means chicken head, and which is great because my dad's name is Gary. So now we have a
chicken
new
head
nickname.
Gary, new nickname for our favorite patron.
Sang, welcome to the show, man. All the way from Seoul. How you doing?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's like 10:30 a.m. right here. So
yeah, it's Wednesday night for us, and it's 10:30 Thursday for you.
Yeah, so I'm still out of it. Thanks again, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it. And Yeah. So
how do we do?
Where's you all? Are you in your bomb shelter shelters? Right now? Is that where you're talking to us?
Huh?
Are you in your bomb shelter right now, talking to us live from your?
Yeah, dude. I'm all protected. You know, that's I got the guns right back there. If you can see in that closet, it doesn't all quite.
That's
fit.
Why the for everyone listening, yeah. It's that's why the closet's slightly ajar right now because there's
a number
of guns.
Your boy's packing, baby. But yeah.
So you were born in Korea. You lived a little bit of your childhood in the U.S. You bounced around, but then moved back to South Korea.
Yeah, I immigrated to the United States when I was 9 years old, and we stayed there for like 7.5 years. And my dad kept applying for green card and visa to stay there. But my dad ran like a convenience store in Florida. So the government wasn't going to give him a visa anytime soon. Oh. And I was there when the Great Recession happened and stuff, and it just got harder and harder to live there. So we came back to Korea in 2010, and I've been staying here ever since.
Great Recession? You mean 2008? So,
yeah.
Remember when the economy collapsed?
Yeah. Yes.
He doesn't mean 1929. Yeah. He's pretty young.
How old are you? How old are you, 20?
Yeah.
So you were 8 years old in 2008?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. My math's off.
I got thrown off by that, and my math shouldn't be off at all. So yeah,
got it. You cannot play soccer in Brooklyn. No,
with that math. Yeah. So you move back, and then let's start here. What about? So they've been testing these ballistic missiles in the last few days off of submarines. Is that news in South Korea?
Okay, can I be honest with you guys? This is going to sound really, really shameful, but I didn't even know.
That's amazing.
So it didn't fly over your window. It didn't like look out the window and you see like a missile rocket and you're like, they're testing missiles today.
I've only been testing missiles inside my room by myself with some wet naps. That's about it. Honestly, I'm really sorry to break it to you guys. Not within my vicinity, and not a lot of people are freaking out about it a lot.
So that's what I observed when I went there.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to have you on. Like, why? Why is no one concerned? Is it because it happens all the time?
not all the time.
Okay.
I think honestly, one of the reasons is it's very unlikely that we'll go into war. And first of all, these days, war has changed a lot now. Like, we have drones. Like, people think that, you know, like, all right, grab your guns, you know, get in the trenches. It's not World War One anymore, where you just, you know, like, all right, man, we're going to get out there. We're going to attack them all. And you just, you know, like, go nuts. I have friends who work with the U.S. military, and they run war simulations all the time. And it's really sad because how the war simulation goes is North Korea shoots the nuclear missile onto South Korea.
Yes.
And just destroys the place. And then America goes, what the fuck, bro? And then they shoot the nuclear missile back at them. And then it's over in 20 minutes.
So win and you lose, though.
Yeah. So, like, it's not... You know, like it's not that, you know, like a crazy awesome, you know, like, you know, Saving Private Ryan or whatever type of deal that people want. Like, sorry, attack, like, at all. It really is.
But
not.
Wouldn't that make it? Because that's also how the war simulations happen here. Is that South Korea gets destroyed and then our military goes in and takes over North Korea and then we all get beachfront property in Busan or wherever the beach town might be in South Korea. But wouldn't that make so if I was South Korean, if I was based in South Korea, those simulations would make me nervous. But it doesn't seem to make South Korean people nervous.
Yeah, I think honestly, Asians are first of all too busy. They're just constantly working. They're trying to do shit. It's just like they don't even have they're so self-centered. They're just pushing everybody on the subway. So I think they could give two shits about, you know, like missile testing.
That's a great theory.
I know it's really
wide
sad.
Generalization,
it's really
but maybe that's it.
Yeah,
being self-centered.
I think I think this is why Asians are bad drivers, because they're very, very self-centered and goal-oriented about where they want to go. So they just don't like have regard for other cars around them or a car trying to, you know, come into your lane
or missiles.
So let alone a missile. You know, like just whatever, fire it off, do whatever you want. we don't really give a shit. I think like, you know, you're like. if it happens, it happens, you know, like whatever. But like, yeah, dude.
Say la vie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, oh yeah, that's French. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you like, you could be, you know, you gotta look at the cup half full, you know, like, you know, like, sure, there's a missile right next to our country. But you know, on the other side, well, there's nothing really positive about it, but you know, but, not at all. But yeah, like you don't have to, I don't have time for that shit. You gotta run a comedy show. You gotta go to work and stuff. Yeah. So
is it because
it's just, yeah.
I did. So I tried to do as much history research as I could. And it seems like,
yeah,
to put it lightly, yeah, this has been going on for a while. This idea of North Korea being in a potential nuclear threat, does it go back to the 80s? As far as I could tell, it goes back to maybe further than the 80s, but as far as I could tell, at least the 80s of North Korea having nukes. North Korea having nukes, and then George Bush in the early 90s or somebody saying, hey, you can't have nukes anymore. And then North Korea says, okay, we won't. Let's have an agreement. And then they break the agreement. And then they get a new agreement. And they break the
agreement. There's been a lot of breaking agreements.
A lot of new agreements.
Many presidents have tried.
So is it just fatigue? Is it nuke fatigue, maybe?
Yeah, it's that too. And like, honestly, I think you know as much as I do. Because like, yeah, like I said, like the Koreans, we really, really don't care. We live on with our lives. I think the fact is, if you shoot a nuclear missile, our country's not that big. Like it's not even bigger than Florida, and that's very sad. So it would just destroy the entire peninsula, and the amount of damage that it would do is, you know, like it's not really that good. And recently, you know, like North Korea and South Korea have been moving more towards peace and all that. Like actually, like our president and like, you know, like Kim Jong-un like met up, and they shook hands and they were talking and stuff. So like that was actually pretty revolutionary, and that was really interesting to see. I didn't know Kim Jong-un had the energy to walk that much, you know, like walk those few steps to talk to the Korean president, you know. Yeah. So like that,
did he get winded?
Pardon? I'm guessing so, you know, like he said he has a North Korean accent, but I think he's just out of air. they were talking, and so that was good. I think that was really revolutionary. Especially after seeing that, like I think it'd be hard, it'd be really wrong to assume like, all right, like it seems like they're getting kind of cool, and then we're gonna fight now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that played a big role. Even though that was pretty recent. But yeah, it's just something that we live with like, on a daily basis, and now people have accustomed to it.
And when kids are in school, are they doing? Because Cap, your kids do, what do they do? Active shooter drills or something?
They did a lockdown drill yesterday, actually. Yeah, they're back.
A lockdown for active shooters. Yeah.
Yeah.
America's wild, dude.
It's wild. But it's, you know what's great about it?
Yeah.
Is my son was in a room that didn't have a lock. So they actually had to move him to another room during the drill, as if like if there was a shooter.
They're doing now in these schools in New York is actually the kids do practice shooting. They gave them guns and they practice.
They get ready.
That's what active shooter drills are. They've decided to arm the children as well, just in case. You know, you got to be able to fight back.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
So did they do that in? I mean, I know you part of your childhood was in the U.S., but do you know if?
Yeah.
Do they do bomb drills? Do they in schools and stuff? Is that like a part of life?
Our bombs part of life.
No, the drills. The drills. The bomb themselves.
Yeah. I just thought it was really funny. Because I spent a significant amount of my adolescence in America. Yeah. I wouldn't know what to tell you exactly from experience, but I think we probably have like the similar fire drills and like these you know like emergency drills, but it's not as common as you think it would be.
Okay,
that's all I can tell you.
Maybe it's like the government just doesn't really bring it up. Like here, the media is anything to sell anything to sell advertising, right? That's US media is based on eyeballs. You want the most people watching as possible. So then they report on the most extreme versions of everything. And if Canada, if like Trudeau was firing off ballistic missiles every every couple weeks, like we would know that. That would be on the front. That would be the lead of every new like TV 24-hour news. It'd be on the front of the New York Times because they're trying to get you as fired up as possible to sell ads. So you'll care. So you'll
Trudeau's a pussy. We would never be afraid of him, but he's no Rocket Man.
Yeah, if it was,
he's trying to instill pronouns as he's firing these missiles.
He's no Rocket Man.
Use these pronouns.
So
he's mad about the Chappelle special firing at us.
Trudeau nukes us because the Chappelle special he didn't like it. So is what about Korean media? Is Korean media not like shoving all this down your throat? I guess not.
Not as much because, like you said, it's been good. It's been going on. But I think when there are some like you know like big instances. Sorry, it's my dog.
Oh, I thought there was interference on the.
I thought it was Kaplan's stomach growling.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry now.
No, excuse.
Yeah, look at that. We got a dog, a guest on the air.
Cool.
Yeah, he just wants attention.
Nice.
He's such a slut. But yeah.
He's not afraid of the bombs. No.
No, he just wants to eat. That's all he wants. But it's not covered as extensively as you would think it is. It's not the other, every other week, you know, the Korean media is going and the North Koreans, you know, are testing their missiles again and their soldiers are going through a hell of a training again. Like it's not like that at all.
I guess because you know, with like here, Kevin, remember when COVID started and they're like there was this big deal, like when we hit 100,000 deaths, not to get too morbid, but it was a big deal.
The good old days, 100,000 deaths.
It was the front page of the New York Times when we had 100,000 deaths.
Yeah.
And like everybody was like, oh my God, what a national tragedy. We're up to like 750,000 now. No one cares anymore.
Right. So you're saying
I'm drawing a parallel that if they're shooting ballistic missiles off once every 5 years, then that's a story. Right. But if it's once every 2 weeks, ultimately, how often can you report on the same story?
It's also like, how many tests is he going to do? Like, it's like put up or shut up, you know? What is he?
Exactly. Shoot or get off the pot.
Exactly.
As they say.
I think, sorry to interrupt. I think metaphorically speaking, like, from a foreigner's perspective, who's never like been to America and you just read about like, you know, the school shooting and because like, you know, literally your Second Amendment allows you to the right to bear arms.
Yeah, baby.
So like, you'd be so scared out of your mind as a foreigner, but like as an American, you forget that like literally not all areas are like that, and it's just part of like your daily life. I think you know like if you're to compare it in like a crude sense, it would be similar to that.
That's good. Also, don't worry, Kaplan can't even squint, so he can't shoot a gun.
I would be the worst school shooter ever. I'd be just spraying everywhere. I'd be just taking art. I'd be taking art off the walls and stuff like that, but not.
Just stray bullets flying in the air.
The world school shooter would kill
so
nobody.
Loud.
The kickback would just knock you on the ground. So, so because of this whole conflict, we do have the U.S. military has been in Korea. So one thing, I lived in China for 12 years, and what struck me there, that's how I got over to Jeff and Rudy, and when you were living in China. Like being an American was this almost like you were looked at as like an alien, like a legitimate alien. Like, whoa, you're from another planet. And people found you interesting, not in like how you find someone who's read a lot of books interesting, but how you find someone who's an alien interesting. Like if a Martian landed on Earth, you would be interested in that. That would be interesting to all of us. And that's how I was treated a lot of the times, especially if I went out to like smaller villages and towns and stuff, which was fine. I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
But then when I went to South Korea, Americans, there was no... Americans weren't interesting, and they were almost, it was almost more like we'd had enough. We've had enough of the Americans, you know? And it's because our military's been there for like 60, 70 years, however, since the 1950s.
Since the Korean War ended.
A lot of these are like drunk. The U.S. military, God bless them, support the troops, all that kind of stuff, give it up for the troops.
We love the troops over here.
We love the troops. But there also is a lot of like drunken frat boy vibe going on. And
oh, yeah.
So how is that, like, having, what is the idea of having the U.S. military there? How do Korean people see it as something that's an annoyance, something that's necessary, something that's like, all right, go home. We're not even scared of North Korea anymore. How do people see it? If you can speak for everyone.
Yeah, that's what we have a guest do. Our guests speak for their whole countries.
All right. I hope I don't get in trouble by the government. I hope they don't send me to North Korea.
Whose government?
For all this. The South Korea.
Do they do that? Do they just send people to North Korea?
People
when they
have been extra bad.
That's Squid Game. What do you think Squid Game is? It's just a bunch of people going to North Korea and getting shot at, and you know, just playing games.
So that's like going to San Quentin. That's like your hardcore prison. It's just sending you to North Korea.
Alcatraz has got nothing in North Korea.
I don't think anyone's been sent over to North Korea. But I imagine if that
there's always room for a first. Yeah. So continue.
No, you'd immediately get shot because we're still considered the enemies. And like, I've actually been trained to shoot a North Korean soldier if I ever see him before I could even react, which is really hard because like, how do you tell the difference between a South Korean and a North Korean without their costumes and without the accents? Like, we're literally the same thing.
Yes.
So yeah, exactly. So that's they're just more malnourished.
Well,
so
just when it just
yeah, that. I was gonna say the malnourishment is that the key,
air
the
on the
off.
Side of definitely. Shooting. You know?
If they're wearing a Dennis Rodman jersey, you shoot.
No. that's also a very great point. Right. Dennis Rodman. But your question. With the U.S. military, like, people still. Because South Korea is still a very homogenous country. For those of you who may not know, like, yeah, it's a very homogenous country. So just the idea of having foreigners, just like you said, Turner. There's still some of that, like. Wow, you're like a different. You come from like a different ethnic background. That is really interesting. There is still some of that if you go to like the suburbs or like you know to the countryside area where there aren't that many you know like foreigners or expatriates. Like you said, but with the U.S. Army, yes, they have been around for longer, but there is no negative sentiment from the general public. We just kind of it's like, oh yeah, okay, you're in the military. And because all Korean men have to go into the military as an obligation, it's pretty well integrated into society. I will say that there's a lot of fuckboy military dudes just out in just
American
like,
or Korean
huh?
You mean the Americans?
Oh, the Americans. Oh,
you
yeah.
You mean the guys who are just like trying to like hook up with? We have people of all countries, all ages listening to the show. So for the non like, the people who are trying to hook up with girls.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I apologize. Sorry, I'm not supposed to swear, right?
No, you can swear. I'm just explaining the term because I just learned that term.
Oh, we have a church going audience who doesn't know about the way the world really is. They think their military is out there just serving our values and they go to sleep at night, read their Bible, write a letter home.
Okay.
So what?
Okay. Well, there are these boys out there trying to get some concubines. You know what I mean?
Boys.
Yeah. They're absolutely ridiculous. I literally saw one of them like walking around like a U.S. A GI. I just walking around like, yo, out with the boys, like with the phone, yes. Middle of the street. I'm like, oh man, you're so proud of yourself.
Do they succeed a lot? Like, is it because they're Americans? They
no,
they okay, don't.
No, yeah, no. There's a lot of conservative Korean girls, yes. And like, because of like the Asian culture, Confucianism, not Confucianism and all that. Like, still like the whole, you know, like one night stand and like you know and everything and slut shaming is like is still really really. That it's not as liberal as it is in the Western countries, such as America, or like, yeah. So like, first of all, there's that, and there's the language barrier. And then like, they try so hard. It's so funny to watch them because they're like 20 and they're dancing their butts off. No, well, not anymore because of COVID. They're dancing their asses off at like a shitty club. Your foot is sticky to the ground. You can't even walk properly. And they just want another beer and stuff. Absolute hilarious scene of a show.
Oh, we're
and are they wearing our best the are they wearing the uniform even when they don't have to? Because I would. I would be full uniform all the time.
Yeah, like they're over it.
No. You can tell by their haircuts and by their vibes and by their you know, like over.
Yeah. I have a question in that regard. So I was in Osan doing a show.
Oh, nice.
With Jeff.
That's an air base for those who may that know.
It's like a U.S. military base there. It's not Seoul. It's maybe like an hour away on the train, I think we took.
Yep.
And it was me.
That's exactly right.
Me and Rudy Tiberzi and Jeff Sinclair and one other guy. I'm forgetting his name. But We're out there doing the show. I'm trying to be respectful. I can't remember his name, but I might remember it later. Anyway, okay. We're doing the show, and it's the show is not on the base. It's in the town right outside the base. I think the place is called like O Lounge or O Bar or something, but it's like a comedy club.
Oh yeah. I've been there.
And we had a good show. It was fun. There's some like GIs are in there watching the show. Everything's fine. And I think at midnight or 1 a.m. they had a curfew. And it was wild, Kaplan. The U.S. military police, the MPs, like remember on Stripes, the MPs?
Yeah.
So the MPs come around and just flood the town. The town is like a walking street, like a downtown, like bar street, right? The MPs come and flood the street and go around. And if you're out past 1 a.m. and you're U.S. military, you are arrested by the military police because you broke curfew.
Do they ask you if you're a military man? I mean, you look.
Let me continue.
Yeah.
So it's me and
I already see where this is going. Right,
so it's me and Rudy, who's like a bearded kind of hippie Portland guy. Okay. And then it's Jeff, who's a Canadian, but let's just say he looks American. He's a bigger fella. He's maybe 6'6" and he's just big.
Shout out to Jeff.
Like a big man, you know, like a tight end level, like a high school tight end, not like a professional tight end. Just like a big guy. And so then we're sitting at McDonald's. I want to say it's like 1 a.m., right? And at 12:40, the McDonald's is packed. And at 12:50, it's empty because all the GIs know if they're out 10 more minutes, they're getting arrested, like literally put in jail. And so they're ordering as fast as they can in the McDonald's. And they're like, I said a number two. I said a quick, come on. And then they're getting their McDonald's and like sprinting back to the base at 1:01 a.m., The military police comes in and it's like they're raiding, like they're going in, like guns drawn, raiding every single McDonald's, every single store, every single bar to literally arrest people who are not in jail. And I'm like, I'm a little worried because we are Americans. We might get confused as GIs, but
pretty all American looking.
It's also odd because the Korean police are in town as well. And so there's the Korean police are out and the U.S. military police are out, but neither one has jurisdiction over the other one. They're both just kind of there. And it's the craziest thing to watch. Anyway, the U.S. military police come in, raid the whole place. They don't even look twice at us. They take one look at us and just keep walking and leave.
They know.
Offended. Me, like skinny me, bearded Rudy, and big Jeff they don't think for a second that we're military. And so they just take off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a bit of an insult. I guess I could see that,
but
maybe it's
insult.
A compliment. You're not a mess. At least you were too sober looking.
I guess so. But
they look at you. They're like English teachers. Nope, they're all good. One look at them. Is that what happened? They looked at you like, oh, English teachers. Okay, we're gonna go.
Yes, maybe that was so. So saying, does this happen?
Yeah.
Is there ever like this overlap between, because I found the dynamic of the Korean actual police, and we're not on a base, so you feel like the Korean police should have the jurisdiction. We're in Korea. And then these U.S. military police coming off of the base. Is there ever an issue with that?
Not at all. The Korean police is actually very passive. They don't have that much power. And it's very different from American police. American police, if you mess with them, they'll immediately, like you get back. I don't know how you guys really handle it anymore, but the Korean police is like, whatever you want, let's just not inconvenience each other. But that is a big problem of where the MPs have to go out and get the American soldiers who are disobeying curfew and stuff. And some of them even like try to really, really get away with it. And I've actually seen some GIs like disobeying curfew and like just partying at a club, trying to avoid getting captured and stuff. So it's actually like a big deal. But to again reiterate, there's no problem like between the U.S. soldiers and the Korean police when it comes to issues such as getting U.S. soldiers who are disobeying curfew.
All right, well let's take a break, Cap. I want to get into what you did specifically. I know you're in the military, as you mentioned earlier. I want to get into that after the break. But first, Kaplan, We have, so if anyone, if you're a Patreon, if you subscribe to our Patreon for $20 a month or more, you get a free ad on this podcast once a month to promote anything you want. Literally anything. If it's North Korea, we'll promote it. We don't care.
Just we will, definitely.
$20 a month. And this week, we have an ad from the great Sugar Brady. Everybody loves Sugar Brady. Our Portland subscriber. He's over $30 a month. He earns his keep. He is coming to New York City for our party to the Friars Club in March of next year. He wants to promote Kaplan, a podcast called Congressional Dish.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to promote another podcast on our podcast. Is that against the rules?
I mean, as a Jew, I'm okay with promoting Hamas. We'll promote North Korea. I'm a Syracuse grad. I'll promote Georgetown's. We'll promote anything, but this is where we draw the line. We can't promote other podcasts.
Hosted by Jen Brenny.
Oh, my God. What's going on?
Congressional Dish is a podcast that I'll do anything for $31.
All right. You'll do it. You read it.
Congressional Dish is a pod. You can plug your ears, Kaplan.
I'm covering my ears.
Subject you to this. Congressional Dish is a podcast that aims to draw attention to where the American people truly have power. Congress. We have power in Congress, Cap. From the perspective of a fed-up taxpayer with no allegiance to any political party. Oh, that's kind of good. Jennifer Brenny will fill you in on the must-know information about what our representatives do after the elections and how their actions can and will affect our daily lives. So Sugar Brady said, besides us, this is his favorite podcast. He said this is his second favorite podcast. He said this is better than Andrew Heaton. He told
me. Oh, wow. Direct quote.
But he said that Andrew Heaton promotes this show. And he said if it's good enough for Heaton, it's good enough for our listeners.
All right. So she's like an adjacent member. She's in the minor leagues for the world's smartest team, I guess we're trying to say.
She's trying to get into the network, apparently.
All right. All right.
Everybody go check out that podcast. We'll all go check it out. She's independent. She's alt-middle. That's what we
alt-middle. All right.
Yeah. Saying we are the official platform. Yes. We used to be the official platform of the alt-middle until we changed our term. Turns out people thought that just also meant racist, which it wasn't really what we were just...
They just don't know the word
joke.
Alt. The alt-right ruined the word alt for
Nobody thought that Kurt Cobain was racist when he was in an alt-rock band.
Exactly. I think there's nothing wrong. I think that's really good. Alt-middle. Like you hate both sides, right?
Yes. Exactly. You hate everyone equally. Okay, that's okay.
That's racist.
See, Sang's a racist too.
Don't tell my mom. Yeah.
Okay, all right, but now, so that's Sugar Brady. If you want your ad, $20 a month, patreon.com/lostinamerica. Kaplan, now a word from our local sponsor. And we're back. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
To all of those local sponsors, whether it's last week saying, and it depending on where you live in the world, you get a localized ad, they insert it. And Kaplan's ad last week was for the New York City Police Department.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Very problematic.
They're also alt-middle, I guess.
They were recruiting. Yeah.
Oh, they were recruiting cops. Yeah, which I can tell
but
you.
I mean, I can't squint as we've discussed, so I'd be a terrible cop, Sprint.
Well, I don't think they were recruiting us, the host. They were recruiting
It'd be
listeners.
A lot of protests if I were a cop, though.
Yeah. So you were speaking of you were in the military, right? In the Korean military?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so. What did you do in the military?
This is going to sound really stupid, and there's no joke to this, and there's no like punchline premise buildup at all, but I was actually a professional beatboxer in the Army. Let that soak in.
Someone's got to do the job.
Yeah, exactly. So like when North Koreans come over, I can do like a really good siren, so like I think that'd be very helpful. Oh, shit, yeah.
Wait, do that again. Do the siren again. Whoa!
That's amazing.
Whoa!
Oh, thank you.
Move over that ass too fat. Like that.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Let's slow down.
It's a lot to take in. Please ask all the questions.
That's real. That's not a bit. That's real. You really did. You were a beatboxer in the Korean military.
Yeah. It's not a bit. Well, I do tell it as a bit because it's hilarious.
But it's real. Yeah.
But and it's completely real.
And just like, I'm going to go Kaplan. I got questions. And just like we would have like a trumpet player in our military, or like someone plays the tuba, the trombone. In Korea, beatboxing is seen as a, I guess, a legitimate, that's an instrument.
Hopefully one day will be seen as an instrument. It's not really like that at all. Oh. How it works is, this is going to be a lot. So please feel free to ask questions whenever you have them, like right away. It's okay if you, just ask, so everyone has to serve in the military, like literally all the men, have to serve in the military in Korea. So because it's like that's like a big portion of the population, it's not like everyone is grabbing their guns and just like, you know, like, OK, and like, you know, going to either Navy or like the Marines at all. There's actually a lot of different services. So this you just have to serve 2 years in any form of military service, and my service was in the military police sector, and in there is an entertainment division. They do, you know, like still do the military police training, such as working with those big rectangular shields and stuff, but
the riot shields.
Yeah, the riot shields. We actually work with them, not like the cool Captain America one, unfortunately. But we get that training as well, but we also, one of our jobs is to promote like the police image of South Korea.
Like a goodwill ambassador.
How amazing and how good the Korean police is. And we go to schools to promote anti-bullying, you know, like underage drinking and smoking, those type of programs. And in those programs.
We can eat your vegetables.
pretty much. That's actually a very good
don't
very
bully.
Good beat. Yeah. That's actually the most completely correct bit that I do. We go there, and then like while we're doing that, we also like have performances. So like we have dancers, we have like a magician. No stand-up comedy, unfortunately. Yeah, these kids don't know comedy.
Not yet.
But we'll get to it. And like, you know, like there was an opening for like one beatboxer, and I was like, oh shit, I must.
I was gonna ask. It was actually a thing you could apply for. Like you didn't say like I'm a beatboxer. They placed you. They said we need a beatboxer. And you said I could be the guy.
So like people think it's like an army band thing, but it's not that at all. It's actually like different. Like I said, different sectors, like military police, the entertainment division. So like you have entertainers and like, you know, singers and like performers and like, you know, MCs and like, you know, dancers. So you're already like working with that type of crew, you know, like to perform like a lot. We perform like 4 or 5 times a week. In various schools and also in police festivals and such overall. So that's what I did.
And was there, like, I could see if there's only one position available for beatboxer, was there a lot of competition to get it?
At the moment it was relatively new, because even to Koreans, if you tell them like, yeah, I was a beatboxer in the army, they'll be like, get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
It's a ridiculous position, I'm not gonna lie. So it was a very relatively new position, so before it caught on, like I was able to be like, I want it, and like apply for it. So I only had the other I had like one other competitor, I think one or two, and this is really sad, but you know, like I wasn't really good back then, and the only reason that I was chosen was because I speak fluent English and they thought it was really useful.
Really?
Yeah.
And then, so and then they sent that other person into battle, and he's no.
He's dead. You know, rest in beats.
They sent to the front lines of the DMZ line.
Rest in beats, bro.
Rest in beats.
Yeah, no, he's long gone. No, him and I are actually tight.
Did you guys have to battle off?
He was like your understudy. Oh yeah, battle off. Like
no, I wish. 8 miles. That would have been cool. I'm gonna scratch your ass off, bitch. That would have been really cool.
Oh, you are really good though.
Well, yeah, like I said, I'm not. If I was shit, why would they, you know, military level.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He was a representative. It's like being an Olympian almost. You represent your country. I mean, you're like the guy.
And now, like
not that big. I was like I was in like the countryside. You know, like police, like down in the south, like Providence. While all the celebrities that also apply for the entertainment division, they go to the Seoul one because that's where, you know, like civilization and like that's like the city. You know, like the main branch. So like it wasn't that, you know, like popular and like legit, but a lot of the high schoolers that we performed for thought we were cool as balls. So that was interesting.
Thanks for curbing your language there.
Coolest balls.
Coolest balls, right? Yeah, I just kind of ruined that. No. These high school girls would be like, "Oh my god, you're so cool. You guys are so hot, amazing. You're so talented." And I'm like, "Yo, don't touch me. I'm not a pedophile."
Right. Beatboxes can be fuckboys too.
Yeah. Get away. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So that's essentially the idea of it is to promote, you know, like police image and to to help out the younger generations or to participate in like police festivals and such. But our manager was really like fucked up. I'm sorry I'm cursing so much. It's just it was 2 years of my life gone down the drain. I'm just beatboxing. Yeah,
it's let it out.
So sad, bro, with like getting $200 per month. Oh god. Yeah, and
wait, you got paid $200 a month?
Yeah, pretty much back then. Back in the good
old Korea is an expensive country.
Definitely. So it really sucked. And I had a girlfriend and like she was white, so like more money was going down the drain and stuff like that. Sorry.
White girls take more money?
She's European and stuff, so she was like OG white. Oh my god, you know,
she wants euros.
Just would not do.
Did you get her because of the beatboxing? Is that how you won her over?
Oh, I think she's just like lonely, and I was just like there. Oh, I'm not Korean. I have no friends, and I was just like, yeah, I can speak English. That's honestly what happened.
Huge advantage.
Yeah, pretty much it. Really sad. But yeah, like our manager like used us illegally for like retirement homes to get like some backhand money, like because like you have like some of the best breakdancers, like a okay beatboxer and like a magician and some singers and like you know like an opera singer. You have them like ready to go at your command, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna make some money with this." Not that he sounded like that, but retirement homes.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. So he like is like, hey, we're going to do like this other performance that we need to do. And we would go to these crappy retirement homes full of these older folks. And we just perform. And they would not even understand it. They're like, what is coming out of his mouth?
Yes.
And then the owner of the retirement homes would like just like pay backhand money to my manager. And he would not even tell us about it. And he'd just be like, oh, that was a good show. Go back
so
home.
He used you like the fat guy, the NSYNC guy, those boy bands.
He was like our talent pimp, except we had no money, because like we're part of the police and like we're not supposed to get money because it's a public service. It's like a public type of service. But like, yeah, he totally, completely used us for several private festivals. And we were just like, oh, yes, sir. Because like,
what are you going to do? Otherwise, you get sent to North Korea. Yeah.
Pretty much. And Squid Game happens, you know.
were you afraid that the North Koreans would look to take out the beatbox king of the...
That's
of
step the, one. Of overtaking a country is take the beatboxer.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is there a North Korean beatboxer? Could you ever battle rap him for charity or something?
Actually, I probably could because, like, I think in North Korea, like, if you're part of the entertainment, if you're doing any sort of entertainment, and I heard that if you mess up in like a performance, you could die.
Yes.
Just get shot. Boom! Wrong note, motherfucker. Like, yeah, just immediately. So I'm pretty sure the North Korean beatbox scene isn't as flourishing as South Korea's.
Okay. I still have a couple more questions about growing up or being next to North Korea. Do they have it on the news? Do people escape very often, North Korea?
No.
No.
It's too dangerous, man. Yeah.
It's not like...
Okay. Like they have, they literally have several countermeasures, because people have been doing that, you know, like throughout time, and like they've been doing it through, they've been going to China and they've been trying to go through, and stuff. I on the Joe Rogan podcast, there was like a North Korean,
I saw that
refugee. Yeah. Yeonmi Park. God, those plastic boobs are huge, but that's not the most.
That refugee is going to be canceled. I didn't realize it. No.
Yeah.
Go into Rogan's podcast.
She's not vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Probably not. And like, so like some, I'm not sure the accuracy of like all the things that she listed. But like, yeah, it really is definitely extremely difficult to get out of there. Because once you escape to South Korea, and you just say, I'm a refugee, please accept me. South Korea's like, yeah, sure. Come on over.
Okay.
We go full Canada, Canada. Like, no worries. Like, you know, like immediately. But like North Koreans are like, oh, like you're trying to escape. You're dead.
Yeah.
You know, like
you get killed if you get caught. Right.
Definitely. Immediately. Not even without consideration. It's like, oh, is he swimming? Oh, okay. Get his ass. Like it's immediately from the get go. Again, sorry. I'm swearing so much. It really is like, that part is like really, really depressing because like you want to get out of there and like like once you find out, and you know, but there's no hope. There's no hope. The men have to serve in the army for like about a decade or like more. It's a mandatory requirement
in North Korea.
All men, like about a decade or more, and it really depends on if you're part of like the elite, you know, like the aristocratic, you know, like part of the society, or if you're below that, then you're, you know, probably screwed. So like, yeah, there is that.
And what about it split in did it split in the 1950s or is
yes.
or
no, 40s, it's, right?
Sorry, 1940s. Yeah. Is After do you know World anyone War II. Who has family or do like you have did do you know people is it common to have families who got separated, like half the family's still in North Korea, half the family's in South Korea? Or is that not a story you hear very often?
No, that I'm pretty sure that's true. My mom's family, like her grandma and her great grandma, they actually like left North Korea. So like,
yeah, they got out.
Intense. Yeah, they got out. I was like, very smart, good decision.
Like way back then in the 1940s.
I like what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when it was like, yeah, they're just like they're just like it's going down south, and they really literally went down south.
Wow. Good time.
Yeah. No, it was very, very clever. Very good math, of course. You know, and everything and like, yeah, it was I'm sure there are several families, but like, at this point, like ties have been cut off. Like, yeah. It's not like you can just like, you know, like, you know, send your North Korean, you know, like families, like a DM or like a Facebook message.
There's no Western Union. You can't even
send
the
like
money.
The Berlin Wall where you could at least like see them on the other side. You know, there's like, yeah, there's nothing.
Definitely not.
So you might have like cousins over there, but who knows? Right.
Probably. But then all Asians look alike. So like, you know, I might as well say that I do.
You might have some beatboxing. The North Korean beatboxers are probably your cousins over there. Yeah.
Probably. Listen, if you could tell an Asian apart, like if you can tell a yellow Asian apart, you're racist. Like that's insane to me. How do you tell a Japanese and a Chinese and a Korean person apart? You can't do that, right, Turner? Come on. You live in China.
It's very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick of these people. They literally made... Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just another rant I was going off on. But yeah.
You can say it.
All right, Cap. I feel like I'm hogging here. Go ahead if you got questions.
No, I was going to ask you, cause you mentioned the draft and then we were reading that there's been some talk in South Korea of getting rid of the draft. Is that something? Cause like, do you have a lot of friends who like didn't want to serve as far as like in the military and were doing other things? Is that like a contrarian objector kind of however you say?
Yeah, literally everybody.
Sorry
to cut off your question. But like, yeah, like who wants to, like, if somebody told you like, okay, you need to like waste like 2 years of your life, we'll pay you like $300 per month. You get to go out like once a month or once every 2 months, you know, like do that, you know, you're going to break up with your girlfriend, shave your head, you know, like get in there, you know, like, and then like, you know, work with all these, like, you know, like kids who are around the same age as you. But if they come in like a week earlier than you, then they are God compared to you and you are nothing. Cause, the whole military hierarchy is very, very important. Like if I'm a corporal and you're like a private, like I hold complete power over you, and you can imagine it's like just like hazing to the next level. It's just, you know, like they're just like, yo, get in a push-up position and like don't, like, you know, don't move. They probably don't do that much anymore, but they do a lot of bullying. You can't really like counter that at all.
So you're beatboxing, yeah, telling people not to bully in the high schools, but they're bullying and hazing like crazy when people actually join the military.
Yes, definitely. They're like, yo, you speak English? Teach me all the English that you know. Like literally all of my superiors, and I just had to do like English lessons, you know, like just no payment too.
That's like Lord of the Flies. Yeah, you let the kids like run the asylum, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. That's exactly, it's exactly it. So it is absolutely ridiculous. And I think you should get rid of it, and you should be conscription based, just like how it is in America.
Because you don't have fights like in Israel, the country I know of where everyone has to serve, but that's because they're always fighting. Like, if you're not actually fighting, you're just not, it's not going to lead to,
you know what's so funny about that? I feel like the popular opinion in America is that we're too soft and we need mandatory military or some kind of service, right?
Right.
Everyone says that, but then none of us have actually ever been through it.
Of course. Well, yeah, because we say like the only people who serve are like, it's like lower income people who look, you know, it's like, so it creates an unequal army here. So that everything's more equal theoretically in your system, but then that everyone's a douchebag, apparently. That's what you're telling us.
Yeah, no, pretty much, because like you don't want to be there, and you just like every morning you shower with a bunch of dicks, literally, because you're in like you're in, like in a container of a shower. He's like, oh yes, sir, and he's just like spraying you with cold water for fun. Oh. Just like yeah, no, it's absolutely. This is not even the worst.
Sounds like jail.
Yeah, I think it really is. Like, you know, I
do you live there?
The
do you live in a
sometimes?
Do you live in like a specific place? Or you can
yeah,
you,
you have
home?
Like a, you have like a, no. I wish like you live in a military base. You're in a military base. You live with like just like 20 or like, you know, depending on your platoon and like your squadron and the amount of guys there, you live with like 20, 30 or sometimes 40 you know, like other dudes. And then, you know, like, it's just like you can't be alone. Like, you know, like, like if you want a fab, you got to go to the stalls, you know, and hopefully that, you know, people don't hear the shaking and all that stuff. Yeah, it's absolutely awful. And it's just, you know, like, luckily I was very fortunate enough to like have like a fun, you know, like military service where I can like perform still and like do the things I really want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, you know, I want to be a beatboxer and be a biggest Asian disgrace ever. So like, seriously, dude, I'm an beatboxer and a comedian. Like, I'm a nightmare for all Asian parents. I should be disowned. But like, yeah, so.
But you did get training with a gun and everything, like in the military?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. With a grenade and like with a gun and stuff. So I could, you know, I could definitely be American if I want to.
What about what about a couple years ago when Trump met Kim Jong Un and like tried to have
Kim
that Jong-un. Summit in Singapore and everything? Was that seen as a total joke in South Korea, or was that seen as like, oh wait, maybe he can actually work it out? What did people think?
Well, first of all, we're like, how do those two dudes move like that? That's a lot of movement for a bigger gentleman like those. Dude, are they going to share KFC? You know, what's going to happen? I heard they both like cheese. but like, yeah, no, we were just like very fascinated. We're like, oh my God. Like, because like when Trump, you have to understand, when Trump became president, we were all like, oh my gosh. Like, right? Like everyone was like freaking
out.
Yeah.
Well, it was just like, oh wow, like we don't, now anything's possible. Like we have no idea what's going to happen next. Yeah.
Yeah. Believe in yourself. Yeah. A small loan of $10 million. But like, yeah, it was just really fascinating for a lot of the Koreans. It was not, we wouldn't say that it was like a negative experience, nor was it like a really like
the meeting with Kim Jong, the Singapore meeting and all that summit.
Yeah, definitely.
Just bizarre.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like an elementary school kid thing, because like they were like insulting each other initially. And then they met up. Then they met up. It's like, what are you like, are you guys flirting?
They fell in love. They had so much in
and
common.
Is there any idea for the future? Like, is there this hope for reunification, or is that like no chance ever gonna happen?
This is gonna sound really bad, but a lot of the South Korean, the younger generation and the like not the super old generation, but like the middle millennials and like the middle like the middle generation, they don't want their reunification.
That's why I asked.
It's definitely messed up, because for economic, for those of you
bring you guys down.
For the listeners who may not know, like if you get reunified, all the North Koreans are going to come down to South Korea, and it's going to like really screw up the economy initially for like the first decade or so, with like, you know, like a huge influx of, you know, like population migration and everything. And you don't know like what else could happen. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, like rebuilding and reconstructing to do for the North Korean peninsula as well. So because of that, you know, they're like, you know, like opposed to it. But like, even though in the longer run, it would be great, because like, you know, like, dude, like we're literally like 50-50, we're like split in half. If we combine our forces, like in the longer run, it would be great. But for that gap of a decade or a few years, it would be very difficult for South Korea or the reunified Korea. So that's why they're against it. Me personally, like, you know, just seeing, you know, like all the documentaries of like, you know, like North Korean refugees and like the things that, you know, that they go through. I want their unification to happen regardless, because like those people don't deserve that. It really is messed up. Literally, you're just born on the wrong part of the world. You know, like, dude, like, there's bacon. Like, you gotta try bacon.
Gotta try. You know? Kaplan doesn't eat bacon.
I don't eat bacon, so.
Okay. Then how about cheese?
I can live in North Korea.
Okay, there you that's go. Definitely true. Maybe true. Yeah.
That's your retirement home, Cap.
Yeah.
Oh, you said cheese steaks? Is that what you said?
Second. I said Cheez-Its, which I really Cheez-Its. Miss. Yeah, Cheez-Its, Cheetos. You know, like a lot of good stuff. Yeah.
This is
like,
this is what they need to learn. The first thing they need when you come across the border.
Dude, I got so fat when I first immigrated to America. My uncle introduced what Twinkie was. Not a good plan. So, but like, yeah. Yeah, no, but it really is definitely very sad with what they're going through.
They don't
have
K-pop and all the great music and everything, and they don't.
In the north,
in the north.
Well, in North Korea, they have a lot of propaganda, and like they're so they have their own like type of like internet. I heard it's called intranet, and like they try to tell people that South Korea is like really poor, they're doing really terribly and stuff.
Doesn't North Korea win every World Cup and everything?
Yeah,
probably. And even though like the war, the Korean War ended in like kind of like what was the word? I totally forgot.
A tie.
Yeah, like a tie. North Korea said that they won, and that I'm just like, no, you very did it, you liar.
Can I tell you something? When I was first moved to China, I was teaching English. Yeah. And one of my students, I was teaching like an adult class. And after class, one of my students, like when everyone left, he said to me, he goes, "Hey, I just wanted to know, what does it feel like?" And he was very earnest, very honest about it. He goes, "What does it feel like to live in China knowing that your country has lost to China at war twice?"
what war was that?
And I was like, what wars are you talking about? He goes, "Well, Vietnam and Korea, we beat you both times." And I was like, I was like, "I don't know, man. I kind of think that, yes, I guess with Vietnam, really, I feel like Vietnam won. But if you want to say
the North Vietnamese, the Chinese helped,
The Chinese helped. But with Korea," I said, "first of all, it was a tie. And like, are you happy with how your side turned out? Because we're pretty happy with how our side, you know, the
you
South."
You should have done the real blowhard move is to tell people that the war never ended. It's still going on.
You're right.
I always hear people say that. A little known fact is that war is still going on.
Technically, they never signed.
Nothing was signed. So that's
cool. And so anyway, it's wild. So what about in comedy
wise? What a douche of a student. He's just trying to rub it in your face.
No, he wasn't. He was asking it like almost like sympathetically, like, "Are you?" He genuinely, that's how he asked it. He like genuinely, that's Hong Kong. Yeah, but he genuinely believed this. So it was like mind blowing to me. I'd never heard this side before. And then comedy wise, we'll end here. How's it going? Stand up soul. Has the Korean, the dark, the Gary, everything, has it survived the exodus of Rudy Tiburtzi and Jeff Sinclair? Because many people said that was the end of it.
They're not wrong. I mean, like,
I'm just kidding. No one said that. Just felt like it would be a good thing to say. But how's it going over there? Like, you guys doing it in Korean, in English, in everything?
Well, the Korean comedy scene is completely different. The Dark Daiquiri, which is a comedy club owned by my partner in crime, he's not here. I don't know why I did that. That was really weird. Pointed to the side. My friend, Fernando Kim. We got a partnership with like a theater to do comedy there. Every week we still have our open mic rehearsal. We have like max capacity to obey the COVID restrictions and such. And we actually have our first show coming up like tomorrow. So like it's going pretty well. And like, I think what happened, it was in 2020, like even though COVID happened, South Korea was like, "Let's just keep going." So we had shows and like we would perform like three times a week, including open mics and showcases, which is a lot for South Korea. Cause like, to run an English speaking open mic in South Korea, like you'd be lucky if you get one open mic a month. But like we managed to make it more regular. We managed to perform outside of Seoul and like other other cities and other towns and stuff, and it got really well. And then like karma hit, and in 2021 everyone's like, "All right, we're gonna shut everything down." Yeah. So like that so for months we couldn't perform for a while and stuff. But now slowly coming back, and we've actually managed to perform pretty steadily. We have like two open mics a week now. One is in Dr. Gary's name, and the other one is run by like another guy. So like that's that. And Stand Up Soul used to run the other open mic, but now we don't run it because the venue owner refused to pay us. And I was like, "All right, dickbag." I know it's just like you want art, but like you don't want to pay for it. Like, can you do this for free? Like, it's just absolutely awful. Kill your mother. So we just have two open mics a week, and right now I think it's really great. All
cool, awesome,
yeah,
man.
I'm really
all
happy.
Right. Well, check him out, everybody. The Sang Show on Instagram. Is that where they can get all the information, all this kind of stuff?
Yes, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Check it out. Check out Dark the Gary. Check out Stand Up Soul. Thank you so much, Sangdon Park. Thanks for doing the show.
Man. Thanks, guys, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That was a wild one.
This was awesome. That is it. Kaplan, what should we do?
Let's go get lost.
Get lost.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.